Thank you, Kim. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes. Anna's here. Ro is not. I'm Brian Noonan in for Ro today. And it's I always like coming in on Friday because I learn so much about my money and your money and our money because Susan Schmidt joins us on Fridays. Her appearance always sponsored by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. Of course, you know Susan. She is the Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager, and Research Analyst at Westwood in Dallas. And we always like to say, hi, Susan. How are you?
Happy Friday, Susan.
Happy Friday.
So the market closed a little bit down today, the Dow, but nothing to worry about. A very slight dip today,
barely
right?
Barely down. So remember that we hit new highs yesterday, and the Dow today was down 0.2%. S&P was down 0.1%. Very, very small. NASDAQ held its high from yesterday and was edged up just a little bit, you know, up 0.1%. So effectively, no change in the markets. It's, you know, business as usual. People are looking for opportunities for investment. They're not finding it in certainly in your bank account. You're not getting interest on any of your savings. It's tough out there in the bond market. And so stocks and companies that are making money continue to be very attractive to investors.
Well, I want to ask you about consumer spending, Susan, because it's one of the drivers of economic growth. We saw retail sales, though maybe not as strong as we've seen
right.
before. Macy's closed the stores. Their stock went up, but that, by closing stores, I think was the big positive news there.
And the Macy's story is really about profitability. So Macy's is taking steps to close. They're closing about 100 stores. And what they're doing is they're closing their unprofitable locations. So they're tightening up their continuing to drive towards margins, so that's operating profit margin, and efficiency. And that's what investors want to see. We want to see businesses operating profitably. Now, separately today, we had the retail sales number come out, and that wasn't as rosy as we would like. Spending was essentially flat with that in June. It's about up 2%, 2.3% year over year. So it's fine, but that's about in line with GDP. We're not seeing the consumer really step up. At the same time, it's just a one-month data point. We edged up in June. My guess is I think we'll go up again in August. The data tends to be inconsistent, so having a lull is not the worst thing. It's certainly not negative. It's just flat, so no change from the spending in June. And the market was hoping it would be up maybe 0.5%.
Mm-hmm. And you've been talking about how consumers are shifting our behaviors, too. They're still shopping, but they're shopping in different places, like moving their dollars online, et cetera.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that, circling back to Macy's, is affecting retailers, the bricks and mortar retailers. More and more consumer spend is shifting to online. We saw that again in the numbers today. And that online presence is having an impact. Consumers are smarter about what they spend and how they spend it. They're being more careful on how they do that discretionary. So they're really going for, as we've seen, autos. They've been dealing with white goods, things, appliances, think of things for houses, which is a good sign for housing. And it just indicates that consumer patterns are shifting ever so slightly. Online is more attractive, and they're being smart about what they buy. They're really going for necessity. What do I need? What do I like? It's got to stand out.
Staying on Macy's for a minute, they're predicting that these store closures are going to cost them about $1 billion a year in sales. Now, in the past, if a company was doing this, we'd look at that and go, wow, they're giving up. But that's not the case anymore, is it?
No, not in this case. And it's important to note that Macy said it's going to cost them in sales, but it's not going to cost them in profitability. So they're break-even stores. They're stores that weren't earning a lot of money. They're not necessarily making money as standalone. So while they're losing sales dollars, they're actually saving on the cost and expense side. And so net-net, it's a benefit to the company because their overall profitability is going to go up. And I think that's important because when CEOs have come out and talked to the street, we're 90% or so through our second quarter earnings releases. So 90% of the companies in the S&P 500 have come out and talked to the street, told them about the businesses, what they're doing, what they see, what they project going forward. This Macy's disclosure was part of that. Management teams are being very open about how this is affecting not only their sales, but their profitability. People are really queuing in on profitability and efficiency because that's what the market cares about right now.
Excuse me. People are thinking ahead of a microphone.
I was
going to
say, wasn't me.
I was, Susan, if you people are looking for a place to put some dollars right now, are there certain sectors you like or certain places that people you would recommend for us?
I would caution everyone to remember that we're in the middle of an election cycle. We are coming up into the final countdown before the vote, and with that comes a lot of volatility in the market. So you're going to see a lot of up, a lot of down. We're also seeing some noise coming out of China. What was most interesting in the consumer report today was the fact that consumer confidence, U.S. consumers, forget about Brexit. Do we even remember Brexit? That was a month ago.
Who? What? No.
So true.
I had breakfast this morning. I don't know what you mean.
There you go. It's a forgotten thing. That's not what the consumers are focused on. What they're focused on is the elections. And it's really about how the elections are going to impact the economy. So it's interesting that the consumer focus has shifted forward. But with that comes a lot of volatility as we get different political statements from both sides. Whatever it is, it creates a knee-jerk reaction in the market. And so just be prepared for volatility. I still think on a relative basis, the U.S. stock market is one of the best places you can be because you've got some certainty, some security, and certainly a lot of companies that are operating profitably. And as a shareholder, you're participating in that. So just be prepared because it's not going to be a smooth ride for the next couple of months. And as long as you have that in the back of your mind, then I think you're fine, and it's safe to start dipping your toe in the water. Take a look at what we have. It's certainly more attractive to invest here in the U.S. right now than it is anywhere else in the world.
So, Susan, during the campaign, it's going to be volatile. Historically, does the market fare better with one party winning the presidency over another, or does it depend on the individual president?
It really depends on the individual president. And right now, people are thinking that perhaps if the Democrats win and Hillary Clinton were to take office, there might be more consistency, and the market likes consistency, doesn't like surprises. So in this case, where we don't have a sitting president being reelected, there's a new person coming in no matter what, we've got a little bit of a surprise factor, but Hillary is more of a known quantity in high government positions, right? We've seen her as Secretary of State. She's familiar with the White House. People are feeling a little more confident in terms of the market reaction if she were to win. If Trump wins, then people are thinking, well, he's a businessman. Maybe that's good for business. But he hasn't been very clear on defining his policies yet. And with that and that uncertainty around policy, again, you get that little bit of an unknown and so some concern and potential for a knee-jerk reaction. So in this year, this case, it's hard to say. The market's going to react, I think, to both of them.
You would think with so much, it just seems like the volatility in the political spectrum would translate into the markets more than it really has. I mean, seeing record highs this week sort of surprised me.
It is surprising, and it's surprising that the market has really gone through all the other news items before it's focused in on its own homegrown domestic election. So they've focused on Brexit. We've been very focused on China, what's going on with economic policy in China, what's going on with economic policy within Europe. Is UK part of Europe? Is it separating from Europe? We've really concerned ourselves with everything else international, and the Fed has concerned itself with what's going on internationally and is very aware that that impacts the U.S. stock market. Now that all those other things are to the wayside, and I think that we're really down to the wire here where the news is going to be dominated by our own presidential election, I think now the market is finally turning to that. So it's been surprising that we've ignored it for so long. There have been big issues externally to focus on, but now I think the focus comes 100% back to what's happening in our own election process, and you'll start to see that up and down action because of statements candidates make. Again, volatility. It's going to be here. Be prepared.
Susan, a couple people texting in wanting to know how, and we're coming back to Macy's again. Macy's closing 15% of their stores. We know it's for profitability's sake. They're wondering, these texters, how that then will affect the unemployment numbers because, yes, the company will still be profitable, but now you've got all these employees from those 100 stores who are out of work.
Right. Now, that's a really good question, because what happens to those people that are losing their jobs in those stores? Out of the 900-plus stores that Macy's has, they're shutting 100 of them. Those workers are then going to have to find jobs elsewhere. What we have seen on the employment numbers is that employment is actually very strong. So it's very, I guess, strong in that it's very solid and stable. We've seen these numbers persist. Unemployment is about 4.8%. It's under 5%. That's a very healthy level. And we're seeing numbers that imply average hourly earnings are increasing gradually, and year over year, earnings have increased for the worker. So more people in the workforce, more people coming back into the workforce, and we just saw the JOLTS number, which did increase. JOLTS is an interesting number because that tells you it's job openings. It really tells you, we call it the quit ratio. It's how many people are willing to quit their job because they think they can find another.
Okay.
That also is telling us that people are confident because we're seeing people quit their jobs because they think they can find another. So Macy's restructuring, that's a flow and a shift. What we want to see is better productivity in the economy, and Macy's restructuring is part of that. So I think that the job opportunities are there, but they will be shifting, and you'll see that dynamic shift within the economy as workers flow to other areas.
I want to also ask you about student debt, near record historic levels right now, and causing millennials in a lot of cases to delay so many purchasing opportunities that I would think would help drive our economy. We saw Hillary Clinton come out with her plan to offer the free public college or university for middle income and lower people, and also community colleges would be offer free tuition. A lot of people critical, like, how do you pay for that plan? The same way they sort of questioned that with Bernie Sanders. What's the big picture look at this, that the markets, how do they view this type of, the student debt? Is it great to unload some of this debt? Does that turn around and help our economy if we can get the students out of debt?
We certainly would help the economy when we're giving sort of a one-time benefit to the economy. And so alleviating all the student debt would be a one-time benefit to the economy. The problem is, how do you distribute that fairly across all students? And I think the plan to improve the ability for people to attend college and pay for that education, remove the debt load or minimize the debt load, is certainly a good one. We haven't seen how we're going to be able to do this with the budget and what other programs or systems have to be cut. Do taxes get raised? How does this actually work? Conceptually, it's a great idea. One of the reasons that we're seeing debt load so high for these millennials is because coming out of the recession, there weren't any jobs available. We just talked about the quit ratio now, and people feel like there's another choice. They might have another job. If you were coming out of the recession and you were coming of age, you didn't have a choice. There was nothing to do. There were no jobs to go to. So you ended up going to school, which is a great alternative, but that also increases now the number of kids and young people who have come out, and these millennials who now went to school, there are jobs available, they're coming back into the workforce, entering the workforce now, and really dealing with that student debt for the first time. So that's another reason for that flow, Anna.
Susan, have you found a loophole yet for myself and or Violetta to make our student loans go away?
He's still asking.
We're working on it.
Okay,
I think a lot
you.
Of
a
people
magic
are
wand,
on
maybe?
It.
Do you have a magic wand?
Keep hoping, Kevin.
And click your heels together.
Between, yeah, exactly.
If anybody can find a loophole, it's Susan. I believe in you.
Thank you.
But he needs you to find that loophole before next month when his next payment is due, because things are a little tight.
Yeah, you got about 10 days.
He's had a rough summer. So
can you lease out the extra space in the basement? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Airbnb.
There's plenty of room down there.
Is there another couch in
your
basement?
Yeah, get a bunk bed down there.
I'll sleep on one side of the couch.
In your parents' basement.
Put that on Airbnb.
You could advertise that your mom serves snacks. It would be perfect.
That's it. Well, Susan, listen, you can't help Kevin today, but you helped the rest of us, and we appreciate it.
Thanks,
always
Susan.
Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you.
Take care.
Enjoy
bye-bye.
Enjoy the weekend.
That's Susan Schmidt. Her appearance is sponsored by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management.